Independent news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have another Man Down Mashup Wednesday. We know it's Wednesday that we combine two shows. We combine On the Clock with Aaron Green with Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, where we combine the shows where we analyze the news, do an analysis of what's trending, and we do an introspection on what is happening. I have a whole topic for today, which Aaron and I are going to go through, right? But I just heard the news, and I want it to sink in to the Bohemian listening public, because I smile and look at Aaron, and she look at me, and I smile and look at Aaron, and she look at me, and she blink twice, right? Just now, the Minister of Health, right, said that, just for the headline, said, Bahamians will get a chance to help. Let me say it again. Bahamians will get a chance to help build a new hospital. Mm-hmm.
It's not even guaranteed that you're going to get to help build a new hospital.
Just get a chance.
You get a chance, though. Maybe.
To help.
Maybe you could get a blight.
Let's settle in. That's certainly it. We'll get a chance to help in this construction phase of the new hospital. That's great news. Yeah. That's
you mean the same news. Way you give me a chance to help you on your show?
You get a chance to get a piece of cake after this. I ain't seen get it. But you can get a chance to get a piece of cake after the show,
if you
too.
Know where to go buy it.
If you know where to go chance. Buy it. Yeah. But nobody complains. I just say the words that we use is be problematic. But today I want to talk about...
But just before you go, would you ever have thought that the government would have engaged the Chinese government again to renovate and remodel the stadium? You ever, in your wildest dreams?
Of course, I had no problem with the stadium. The problem is we had poor maintenance. We can't maintain things.
You sure that's what the problem was?
That's what the problem is. And I'm sure that's what our government has concluded. That's why we went back to the Chinese again to build our hospital.
And just because the government concluded that, that doesn't mean that that's the right answer.
What you're trying to say? No, I'm very comfortable with the Chinese donation and the Chinese construction.
I'm saying that you're right. The government has a problem with maintenance. They even have a problem with maintaining the terms of contracts. They have a problem with maintaining their oversight and enforcement of provisions and policies. I agree with you now. I get it. It's a maintenance. They can't even maintain their own timelines and policies.
Plus, we have inspectors. We have Bohemian inspectors who will inspect the construction. I'm comfortable with this. I see you staring at me, but no, I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm comfortable with this. And the idea that we are searching for a strategic partner, and the Chinese bank was the only one that volunteered and to help us. And as part of their commitment, they sent in their construction people to come here and build it. And now we have a chance, an opportunity to help. And we need to be grateful that we have the chance to help. But that ain't what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about is NIB. I think NIB is in crisis. I think NIB is in crisis, not necessarily from the management of NIB, you know. I'm believing from government interference. And I think government interference has put NIB in crisis. And the more money NIB gets, the more money it will spend and will continue to be in crisis because there's still continue to be government intervention. There's a number of articles I want us to read. I want us to read and I want us to interrogate, to ask questions. I want to listen to the audience to understand what is happening with their National Insurance Board monies, right? And whereas we need, as Bohemians, to push back, to challenge, to ask questions, to say, no, this place needs to get better run, better managed, and we're not going to allow it to crumble. And the reason if it's going to be in crisis, and a number of ministers have used the word crisis, right, in jeopardy of collapsing is the words they use, right? Mm-hmm. We need to find out what caused it to be in jeopardy and on the verge of collapsing. and whether we have corrected that issue or we continue to put sink money into this hole, this bottomless pit. But go ahead with the first article, Aaron.
All right. So there are five articles in total, stretching from the 7th of March to the 12th of March. The first one, NIB rate to increase every 2 years until 2044. Beginning July 1st, NIB rate will increase by 1.5% and increase every 2 years after that for a period of 20 years. Minister of Immigration and National Insurance Alfred Sayers announced in the House of Assembly. Quote, therefore, well, I have to read the quote. He said the same increase will be applied to self-employed people and voluntarily insured persons.
So, okay, stop you there?
Yeah.
So where did we get this 1.5 increase? Who did this analysis to say this is what we need?
A report was produced, an actuarial review of NIB. So let's read, I'm going to read from the statement from the Office of the Prime Minister on NIB that came out the same day as the minister responsible made the announcement. Just an excerpt, an actuarial review of NIB recommended increasing the contribution rate, not just this year, but every 2 years for years to come. Those recommendations were repeated today by Minister Sayers. These continued rate increases would be required in a worst case scenario. A decision has yet to be made beyond the initial 1.5% announced to commence on July 1st, 2024. As we move forward with comprehensive reforms, policymakers will continuously evaluate the efficiencies gained and consider the best path to delivering sustainability.
So you say an actuary, what?
An actuarial review.
So I'm looking at the word actuary. It's a person who compiles an analysis, statistics, and uses them to calculate insurance risk and premiums, right?
Hold on, let's just stick a pin.
Go ahead.
Dear young people, if you good on your numbers, if you good with dominoes, if you good with checkers and cards and thing, you should start thinking about whether actuarial science is the place for you.
Yes.
Talk to your guidance counselor about it.
So these are specialists.
Yeah.
People who are trained to study the trends and the numbers to say what is needed. These are professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So the professionals inform the minister that...
No. The professionals inform the board.
The board
inform
the minister
and cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And cabinet?
Yeah.
Okay. So the professionals in their capacity... Right, inform the board that there needs to be an increase of 1.5% every 2 years in order to stop national insurance from what? Collapsing?
Imploding.
Imploding. Right? So this is professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a thing. So what's the problem from here?
Well, part of the problem is the Prime Minister said, wait, hold on.
Wait, what do you mean the Prime Minister said, wait, hold on?
It's a statement from the Office of the Prime Minister. A decision has yet to be made beyond the initial 1.5% announced to commence on July 1st, 2024.
So wasn't there announcement saying that definitely on July there will be an increase?
Right.
So now the Prime Minister's coming back and saying, no, we...
No, that's not what the Prime Minister said.
What'd you say?
Last year, it was announced that there would be an increase on July 1st, 2024. The Prime Minister said that we have not yet determined what the rate would be or any of the other details. Just know that there will be an increase on July 1st, 2024.
So where we get this 1.5 from?
On the 7th of March, the actuarial review produced that figure. On the 7th of March, the minister responsible for national insurance made the statement that it was going to increase by 1.5% on July 1st and then would continue to increase by the same percentage every 2 years.
Did he say it's recommended? Or is it that's what's going to be happening?
That's what the minister in his statement said. That's what is happening.
That it's going to happen.
The office of the prime minister
came back
and said, "Listen, the statement uttered by the minister comes directly from the actuarial review, but a decision has not been made at the policy level of whether we're going to continue to increase the rate every 2 years after the initial increase." In the statement, the Prime Minister is essentially states that we will be conducting reviews and assessments of the system as the 1.5% has been implemented, and we will make a determination on the way forward based on our assessments of our initial policy move.
So this is where I interpret that as we question the actuaries. We question the specialists, whose job it is to study numbers, who saw that something is wrong at NIB,
mm-hmm.
right? Especially when we have, for the last 20-odd years, from when Shane Gibson was a minister of
National
Insurance, saying that it's on verge of collapse. You hire specialists to find out what is wrong and what is needed. And now we see that when the last minister of National Insurance said it's urgent, and our prime minister continues to kick the can down the road, saying it's not urgent, but it ain't urgent enough for me to make any decision, right? And then we have reports after reports saying this is what it is. We continue to kick the can down the road.
Okay, so I'm going to interpret it, your initial interpretation, I'm going to interpret it differently, right?
Go ahead.
I think this is an inability to balance governance and politics. See, the governance side says, hey, NIB is on the verge of collapse. Technocrats indicate that we need 1.5% every 2 years for the next 20 years.
Just for it to survive.
Not just for it to survive. They say by 2030, it should be buoyant.
That's just for it to survive.
Yep.
No. Buoyant. Okay, well, if it's not buoyant, what it is? Submerged.
No. Listen, the policy, the indication is for 20 years, but what we are reading is that in 6 years, the fund may actually be in an excellent place.
From what would cost the fund to be in an excellent place?
The 1.5% over the 2 years.
With the, surely, as an actuary, that's their job, is to plug in the numbers and say, even if it's in place, this is how it's trending.
Right.
Are these actuaries incompetent? And don't do that.
I would never say that any actuary is incompetent.
They are competent. So they put it forward that it'll take 20 years.
Right,
but all the numbers, this is a minimum.
Right. But let me put my, like I said, I appreciated your interpretation. I think these statements are an indication of the government's inability or the administration's inability to balance governance with politics. See, the governance side is NIB is in crisis. We want to implement a policy to increase the rate. Contribution rate by 1.5% every 2 years for 20 years. The politics side of it comes in here. I want to read from this article. PM hopes to avoid future NIB rate hike burden. In a voice note yesterday, Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, said the Davis administration can only speak about its plans for its term in office and cannot commit the next government, even if it's a PLP government, to a rate increase. Quote, in other words,
what?
Those decisions about the rate increase depend on the circumstances the government meets in those days when it's time to do so. For example, suppose the investment strategy that the National Insurance Board has gives returns higher than we expect. Then it may obviate the need for an increase. That means it may remove the need for an increase.
And see, this again, we are questioning the actuary.
Yeah.
And I want to know, who should I believe more? The actuary or the politician?
I don't think they're questioning the actuary. They could still play politics without questioning the actuary. I think they play in politics. See, because when it came to VAT, right? Remember, VAT was implemented and the opposition said, oh, we can repeal VAT. We can repeal VAT. Don't worry about that. We can repeal. It's almost a song. And then when the opposition became the government, they were like, oh, my goodness, how could you even expect us to repeal VAT? Governments are continuous.
Yeah.
We can't just jump up and repeal this policy. Right? So they play in politics.
You remember when they said they made more money, they assume, from VAT than they thought?
Yeah.
They didn't readjust VAT money to say to make less because we make more money.
Oh, yeah, we could reduce it because we're making far. Nah, they didn't do that either.
But isn't, like you said, government is continuous?
Yes.
So what you mean they cannot commit a institution to collect money because it could be a new government?
Well, let me read from another article, sir. Sumner fees and firings likely over NIB hike. Nassau Tribune, 12th of March. Former director and CEO of the Bahama Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation, Edison Sumner, said when National Insurance Board contribution rates increase, businesses may offset costs by increasing prices, service fees. Mr. Sumner said not only is it necessary to raise national insurance contribution rates, but the government must also pay NIB arrears. Okay, the quote I'm looking for is not there. Here's the quote. Here's what the quote said. The quote said, if we do the increase in 2024, then that means the next increase would take place basically July 1st, 2026, mm-hmm. Which is an election year.
So that, you think that's a political
reason? This is what I'm saying. Perhaps the reason why the government pulled back is because they didn't want to commit to something that would possibly impact them negatively in the political domain in an election year.
So they're willing to risk NIB. Let's go to the caller.
I mean, it's our health. They're willing to risk our health and welfare. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you all today?
Good, thank you.
I'm wondering, right, with this national insurance thing, how the government always come to the people to fix their situations. I wonder if they ever gave it any thought to leave national insurance money for 20 years. Don't bother with it. And let national insurance operate off the money they collect without interfering. I wonder if they ever gave that any thought. Instead of always fixing their problems by just taxing us more.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about that?
We all think about that.
Considering that...
Yeah, because sometimes they just need to bite the bullet and say, let's leave these things alone, man.
Or at
least leave the people money alone. If they say 20 years, they'll be buoyant. Leave the money for 20 years.
Listen, sir, at the very least...
Thank you very much, sir.
Pay off your $8 million bill with NIB. In that same article, some of the fees and firings likely over NIB hike.
What do you mean firing? Who's going to fire their good employee over increasing NIB? That don't make no sense. Why fair mongering? Why every time you talk about bettering the quality of life of Bahamians, Mr. Sumner, always have this line that businesses will fire Bahamians. Why it always got to be anti-Bahamians? I find that strange. Even in terms of increasing the minimum wage, oh, there can cost to be some firings. Like, anything about the employee, you got to get fired? Constant, it's a constant threat to us. You all ain't deserve nothing. I get just tired of it sometime, man.
I understand entirely. I just want to say, caller, I come to you right now. In reference to the last caller, last year, then State Minister Miles LaRota revealed that government agencies owed NIB $8 million. So before the government stopped borrowing, they need to also pay back what they owe. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, I really appreciate both of you for giving us all this nice insight. So continue to do what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
Now, you are pushing for a Bahamian to do actuarial science.
Yes.
I remember some time ago I met the actuary at NIB. His last name was Gupta.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds foreign to me. I don't know whether any government would want to have a Bahamian as an actuary for the kind of stuff they do with the money. You see, when you have a foreigner, you could say, "Boy, you know, I can deal with this." And then, you know, you can't say much because you're on contract. But anyway, that's the way that works. Now, the other thing is, the actuary gave you a projection for the next 1,000 years. Of course, you can't come in Parliament and say it like the way it says. Mr. Says should have said, the actuary suggested that this is what we could do for the next 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the government has decided that we are going to do it in increments of yearly. This way you don't push the boy under the bus and have the bus roll over him and make him look like he's an unintelligent man. I think Mr. Sayers was actually saying what the actuary suggested.
Mm-hmm.
But the government can't go that far because they can be gone by next year, you see, by next election. That's why they are just keeping it safe, eh?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
I'd like to say that we have a number of Bahamian actuaries, right? Actuaries is in the demand in the Bahamas. We have competent Bahamian actuaries. I'm just kind of uneasy that we're now challenging our actuaries blatantly.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
we don't know if this is actuarial review was conducted by a local expert or a local firm. It may have been conducted by an outside firm, mm-hmm. someone from a foreign jurisdiction. We're just not sure.
The NIB is mandated to assisting in government projects.
Mm-hmm.
If the government goes to NIB and say, "I need a building built," they can get funds from NIB, right? Besides that, NIB is also mandated to assist Bahamians who invested in the fund in terms of insurance benefits.
I have a, keep going. I can pull up a list of the things that they do from
so
the article.
So my concern is we are all aware. We are all aware, even though Bahamians don't push and question to say, well, why don't we sell off these things, that our government has mandated the National Insurance Board to purchase several mansions, dilapidated mansions or buildings that have become dilapidated over the years that is still on the NIB books. If NIB is in crisis, if NIB is on crisis, like they said, on the verge of collapsing, mm-hmm. why not sell off these things to get liquid cash? Why keep them on the books as dilapidated buildings? Why government keep on going to NIB to build these buildings knowing that they can't maintain it?
Remember the article from yesterday or Monday about housing, the Ministry of Housing, and how the minister responsible said that they are going to turn some of those properties into affordable housing?
Not those mansions. I assume they plan to take a number of abandoned buildings like what the person who's selling them on East Street name?
Kemp.
I thought it was going to take a couple of camp buildings and put the people inside there. It's buildings.
Let's go to the caller.
That's what I thought it was going to do. Let's go to the caller. How you doing?
Turn down your radio, please, caller.
Hello? Hello?
Turn down your radio, please, caller.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
So tell me something. You mean to tell me the government can go ahead and take NIB money, the money that the Bahamian people put there, that they hoping that they could get a retirement with, use that buy buildings, and then tell the Bahamian people they got to increase NIB, and also there's a possibility there'll be no money for people in the years to come?
Yep.
Well, part of the NIB Act is that the monies are used for national development. That's developing the Bahamas.
Hello?
A part, like I said, sir, part of the NIB Act is that
it permits
the government or it permits NIB funds to be used for national development. So the projects that the government has received money for was for national development in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You good, caller?
Yeah, I ask and I submit to the Bahamian people. Stop the government from doing that. All the back taxes they get, they still got to borrow money from NIB? Come on, man.
Absolutely.
There is nothing here in this country for Bahamians. But one crisis happened, and then the Haitian, the Jamaican, everybody else gets a piece of this situation. Watch when you see a hurricane or something happen. That's how NIB get broke. Yeah, they paid some Bahamians too. But the reality is, if the money is there for NIB, for funds for people when they get older and whatever, when they retire, why in the world you can take that to borrow that to build buildings when you're collecting all this this taxes?
I don't mind them taking it. My problem is, why are they not paying it back?
Thank you very much,
girl. Exactly.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And then on top of that, they have the rights to say, okay, we have a debt with NIB. We have to write that off. Mm. You understand what I'm saying?
I appreciate what you're saying.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You, thank you very much.
You know how much cookout they have to have? You know how much
plenty cookout.
Cookout and raffle they have to have? I want to say this. If poor Bahamians have to have cookout for medical funds,
mm-hmm.
so they could try save their own life, then surely y'all is opposed to raising this thing by 1.5%. See how many cookouts you need for this.
But NIB needs to audit. We need to find out what caused NIB to be struggling,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's not struggling like for the last 4 or 5 years. It's now decades long that they're saying that NIB is in crisis.
And
I need to find out what it caused this to be in crisis
and then
correct it.
Don't say Dorian. Don't say the pandemic.
No, we know better.
Don't say sickness, maternity, funeral, unemployment benefits. Don't say retirement, invalidity, survivors, old age pension, and industrial benefits. Don't say medical care, injury, disablement, and death benefits. Don't include any of them in the reason.
We know better. Any sensible Bahamian know that it can't be that.
Right. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you? How are you both in studio?
Good, thank
doing
you,
well.
Sir.
Yeah, I was trying to get a little earlier. Aaron, I really would like to know whether Simon or Wilson, whoever his name is, do he speak for the government or what role does he play? Because he seems to be involved in every single thing The government proposed, he seems to have to be the one to be the spokesperson, whether it's relevant to his ministry or not. I just don't understand, why is this happening?
Okay, so we may not initially see the relevance, but like the texter showed us, as the financial secretary, see, I say he's speaking in his capacity as the financial secretary. As the financial secretary, he does speak to customs, right? He does speak to these spaces. So a part of it is a lack of clarity from the state side on the function of appointees. A second part of it, though, is this. What's the point of a minister of finance if you have a financial secretary, right? Like, what's the role of the minister of finance if this is the function of the financial secretary? And don't say, well, because the minister of finance is the prime minister, so the financial secretary speaks. The minister of finance does not have to be the prime minister. The prime minister does not have to be the minister of finance. And quite frankly, assessing government economics and finance over the last, say, 25 years, don't we see that there's a clear problem? Shouldn't we try and see what happens?
Even more to that, Aaron, is that from Sir Lyndon resumed, took over the portfolio as Minister of Finance, the country has been on a downward trend. It was only until we got the late William Allen and persons like James, the Honorable James Smith, as former governors of central bank that knows about economy and has the ability to run economy. That's the only time we saw that this country on an upward trend. Other than that, it's always been downhill. Prior to that was the late Eddie Hanna, who was the true minister of finance. We got to get away from prime minister saying, I want to be the minister of finance. No, because you don't have oversight. That's what caused our problem over the years. And it will continue to hurt us, because we continue to allow a prime minister to appoint himself, because he's self-appointed minister of finance.
I appreciate you, caller. One must appreciate that a number of Bahamians are frustrated because our Minister of Finance, the Prime Minister, doesn't seem to be in touch with what is happening into the country, most because he's flying all over the place, right? Mm-hmm. So we need the Financial Secretary, or it caused the Financial Secretary to be more vocal, right? Usually we'll see the Minister of Finance speaking.
Okay.
But because the Prime Minister is not here.
So what's the role of Halkidis? Right? Why you have a PM as Minister of Finance, a Financial Secretary, and Halkidis as a Minister of State, right? Because he's not elected, as a Minister of State Economic Affairs. And we'll get back to that interrogation in a moment. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Oh, Nathan, I go and play with my own. The man told me he ain't got no record of Bahama Blenders. A big company like Bahama Blenders, Bahama Bottling Company bought Bahama Blenders. 300 staff, 500 staff, you tell me you ain't got a record of that?
Okay, sir, before you go on, is this a matter that's before the courts, or is this a matter that should be?
No, I even didn't put it before the courts. I just let it ride. I mean, you can't get a government to court. You've been caught 10 years, 20 years.
But your national insurance would be supposed to be attached to your name and your national insurance number. I'm familiar with Bahamas Blenders and the changing over the years, the new name. So once you put in your name and put in your national insurance number, your money should follow you.
I did that. A man saying on the record, Bahamas Blenders.
I want to say I'm so sorry that you've had that experience. I mean, you know, it's only words. It's all I could say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, only words.
Did you guys have a union?
Tell me that.
Were you and your fellow employees part of a union?
No.
This is like the 1960s, you know. This company doesn't.
That's when the union was doing things. Mm. Now the union is just a pipeline to parliament.
But the company.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, no. Good luck to his mom. He tells me he ain't got no record of Bahama Blenders.
Mm. Thank you very much, sir.
But okay. I wanted to add, Aaron, that there are a number of recommendations to fix the problem at NIB, right? But that hasn't come to the fore yet. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's addressing. The prime minister isn't addressing about these recommendations we plan to embrace to stop the leakage. This clearly is a leakage. Right? Something caused national insurance to be where it is.
Yeah.
Right? And we haven't identified what it is. right? And I believe it's political interference causing that, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that our government isn't planning to solve this continued political interference in the management of NIB in terms of what they invest the money into. So if they get more money, if they get more money, we expect there to be more leakage. We expect there to be more mansions be purchased to be dilapidated. You know, more buildings to be purchased. Mm-hmm. And Bahamians should be up in arms and concerned about their future and the future of NIB moving forward.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is the Ministry of Tourism and its new Tourism Development Fund going to liaise with the Ministry of Housing to turn these abandoned mansions purchased by NIB into, no, I say tourism. Are they going to the Tourism Development Fund to get the money to turn these abandoned mansions into tourism products? Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and CA. How are y'all doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
I'm good.
Good.
I my heart bleeds for that man who just called.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the individual who assisted him must be somebody who was just born last summer.
Mm-hmm.
They need to find that man's money. All of us know that there was a Bahamas Blenders. That man needs not to just give up. Find his money.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering if a noble member of the legal community will take up this case. I wonder, where are they? You know, where in the world is Waldo? Where in the world are the lawyers? It's just very, very troubling. Is the problem at NIB due to a lack of organization? Does NIB need a whole bunch of money to digitize files? It's astounding to me.
I still waiting on the audit. It's been years since we got an audit from a report from National Insurance to say what is happening there, where's the leakage. You cannot be increasing anything without me understanding what's happening on the books.
And that's why when Mr. Mitchell, Chairman, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and MP for Fox Hill, made that tongue-in-cheek statement about the Freedom of Information and Procurement Act being these ideals of another administration, we're not offended by it. We're deeply, deeply concerned and troubled that you would, in your pursuit of politics, bastardize and destroy the systems and processes of governance in the country. Y'all, the politics just can't, y'all will consume everything. Surely, somebody is going to ensure that the systems created by, endorsed by, entrenched in the Constitution are functioning for the purpose of a properly run government.
I still don't understand, or I still don't, and for lack of better words, I'm not sure if the Bahamian public is aware of what a crisis we are in regarding the management of NIB.
Because what's the point that you made yesterday or the day before? NIB is government guaranteed, right?
It's guaranteed.
So if NIB is broke, it means that?
The government is broke.
Right.
And our government might be in crisis.
So here's the question. If the government is a guarantor
for NIB, according to the
How are government agencies allowed to borrow money from NIB?
Because it's part of their mandate, that for national development. So they put it under the national development, and that they're able to borrow it.
Are funds invested? Are NIB funds invested in these projects, or are loans given to these for these projects?
Both. Because, let me give an example. The Office of the Attorney General, the building itself, is owned by the National Insurance Board. NIB owns the building of the Attorney General office. And I might even go as far as they own the building of the National Security Department building.
Right.
Right? So they pay rent to National Insurance. So that's an investment of National Insurance to get a return.
Right. Who's responsible for maintenance on those buildings?
National Insurance is responsible for the maintenance of those buildings. The painting, the structure, yes, and maintenance around the grounds. National Insurance is responsible for that. So National Insurance has a number of buildings that they own that they get income from.
Does National Insurance insure those buildings?
I don't know. I assume either they self-insure, like how we self-insure ourselves with a hurricane, or they have insurance in general.
Because I'm thinking Bamsey, I'm thinking R.M. Bailey, I'm thinking, are these buildings insured?
But I don't know who owned those buildings. I'm not sure if National Insurance owns the examples that you give.
Bamsey?
Yeah.
Building?
I don't know who owns it.
I got you. I have no problem with that. Mm. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm just going to start, you know, a year of 1,000 cookouts. BPL need $1 billion. NIB, we still don't know how much NIB. Like, nobody's actually told us how much money NIB actually needs.
Oh, yes, the total amount of money that it's in debt of Credit Secure, right? Do they spend out, especially during COVID to now? A report to say that $100 million was spent out. This came out of our NIB consolidated fund. This caused the fund to be short. Since then, this is how much money we came in. You see that we're short. Nothing has been put forward to us, the Bahamian public, to say, okay, I see the status of NIB.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand why the government is debating this 1.5 increase every 2 years. Nothing has been brought to us to say, hey, this public, you all need to know, and we need to make some tough decisions. They're just saying that tough decisions are going to be made. You all don't need to know why. And this is what the actuaries came up with. And take it or leave it. See, something. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with that narrative. I have a problem with they doing that to Bahamian people.
All right. I have a text here that says the Minister of Finance has to be able to represent and present in Parliament, HOA or Senate. I'm cool with that. So Halkidis can be the Minister of Finance. I don't have a problem with that. But why don't we have a Minister of Finance who can dedicate all of his time to the Ministry of Finance? Surely the scope of the work involved demands not just one minister, but also a junior minister, a minister of state, a secondary minister, as well as the administrative staff required.
But as we go on a break now, I want someone to call, text, and tell me who is the financial controller of NIB. Anybody call and text me who is the current financial controller of NIB. And the reason why I asked that question, because I just went on the NIB website, and there is none. There, it's just on the list. Anyway, like, this guy didn't really hear him with C.A. Nuri of a Man Down mashup on Wednesday. We mashed the two shows together, and he analyzed the news, doing analysis on the news. And we're talking NIB, and something wrong. Something frowsy about NIB, and I just don't like it. We'll be right back.
Like clothes at the washer.
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tune in Gretzi.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But it was serious. Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy a big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We need to talk. And it's about something pretty important. Your NIB contributions. For nearly 50 years, NIB contributions from hardworking Bahamians have supported families and individuals alike. And while the scope of NIB benefits has increased, contribution rates have remained relatively unchanged. That's why starting on July 1st, 2024, both employers and employees will have to pay a little extra to sustain this national lifeline. But how do we get here? Here are the facts. Firstly, Bahamian families have changed. With fewer people having children, there are fewer people eventually joining the workforce. And with Bahamian retirees living longer, NIB payouts have gone up, but the NIB contributions continue to drop. The July 1st rate increase is our way to ensure NIB benefits are available for generations to come. We all have a role to play, and it starts with investing in tomorrow today with NIB.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Just during the break, I heard one national insurance advert. And I said, no, I need to play that also during the show so people can appreciate what is happening. I don't want to conflate what is being the topic, right? From the advertisement I heard just now, right? I just indicated to the producer to get ready to cue that again because I want people to hear it, right? It's saying that there was a suite of benefits that was implemented. And when the suite of benefits was implemented, the actuaries apparently at the NIB did not consider that there was not going to be enough money to cover the new benefits. I don't believe that, by the way. Because when you, for regular insurance, when you add an additional benefits, you calculate that. That's part of their job, to add money.
Again, the point being made is that those responsible for the management of NIB cannot balance the process of governance with the game of politics, right? All of this would be a lot clearer. Citizens would be clearer in their understanding of how NIB functions, what's expected from NIB, what's expected from the citizen, what's expected from the employee, what's expected from the employer, if those responsible, and that's what the discussion today is about. It's not about the inner workings of NIB. It is about the continued lack of clarity around the public statements, propositions, and policy suggestions put on the table by the government. And that if the government doesn't get their unquenchable desire for politics under control, they will continue to bastardize and destroy every system in the country.
But let me
play the thing.
Yeah, I want to play it. Because all my life, NIB was the most best managed government agency. And the idea is, it looked like it's poorly run. But let's go get ready to cue that up and play it so it can be a part of our conversation also. Go ahead, producer. Play it for me, please.
We need to talk. And it's about something pretty important. Your NIB contributions. For nearly 50 years, NIB contributions from hardworking Bahamians have supported families and individuals alike. And while the scope of NIB benefits has increased, contribution rates have remained relatively unchanged. That's why starting on July 1st, 2024, both employers and employees will have to pay a little extra to sustain this national lifeline. But how do we get here? Here are the facts. Firstly, Bahamian families have changed. With fewer people having children, there are fewer people eventually joining the workforce. And with Bahamian retirees living longer, NIB payouts have gone up, but the NIB contributions continue to drop. The July 1st rate increase is our way to ensure NIB benefits are available for generations to come. We all have a role to play, and it starts with investing in tomorrow today with NIB.
So it's us. We have less children, and that the demand is so much that NIB is in crisis.
When was the last time an audit was gazetted for NIB?
Must be about 2018, 2016, something like that.
And that's, and it's 2024. That's six to eight years ago. It's the last time an audit was gazetted.
Yeah.
But it's us. We're the problem.
We need to have more children to contribute.
I tell you what, I don't think we could determine who the problem is until we get some audits gazetted.
I say audit so we can see what. Anyway, let's give it the callers. We have callers on the line. Let's patch the callers.
Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Nguyen. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Yes. There was a lady on one time who from National Insurance. She was very knowledgeable in the field. She was talking and she spoke about national insurance and its conception. And she said that the individual who helped them do the whole process told them that if they did it correctly, that it would last X amount of years. Now that time has already passed. I can't remember exactly how much years it was, but they knew from the onset that there was an expiration date on national insurance or a time when it would run into trouble. They knew this from the conception of the idea, so they should have had this. So this shouldn't be such a chaotic thing at this very point, because they knew it from the beginning, all right? Nuri was talking about patriots need to get up and start to do things, right? You all have to remember, Peter Nygaard got our government at the time to pass a bill or a law or whatever.
Let's rephrase that. The government passed a law.
Yes. I'm on my cell phone. I'm trying to hurry before the time run up.
Okay, but listen, that's not me and you be on a jail cell phone. Let's make sure that we say it properly, okay? Okay, good stuff.
Go ahead.
I mean, like I said, I just, you know, there was something that our government passed that was very controversial at the time that mm-hmm. nobody in the world seemed to want to touch it, but our government was motivated to do it by somehow. So that proves that we as a people, if someone can get our government to do something on that level, then we should be able to get our government to do things that are essential to us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And my last point is that I heard Mr. Lang was talking about, he was saying what the duties of the MPs are by the Constitution, right, that they are allowed to do our business on a general. He used the word general. I can't say exactly word for word what he said, and I don't know if by him using the word general, if that is what is in the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I have to question that word general. Is general, because, you know, when someone say, you know, generally speaking, or general looks like that pertains to, like, normal things. It doesn't pertain to, like, extraordinary things, if you understand where I'm coming from.
Yes, sir.
So I feel as if, I'm wondering if our leaders are really constitutionally empowered to sell off our essential services. You understand? I want to know if that falls under the scope of general. You understand where I'm coming from? Because, and that is where you, Aaron, just called for our legal minds to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of our lawyers in this country care about law, the rule of law? I mean, aren't you all supposed to love law? Or do you all only love money? Because if you all only love money, then I could understand why those proverbial jokes about lawyers still exist to this very day. You understand where I come from? You know the jokes about lawyers, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
So lawyers, show us that some of y'all have some integrity. Don't y'all know the law? Does any of y'all in this country love the rule of law? I mean, don't y'all see all this lawlessness going on? You understand? So
yes,
thank
sir.
You very much.
Thank you very much.
And I grabbed my phone. Hold up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
I see in the United Kingdom, they're lowering their national insurance contribution. Right? Mm-hmm. They see that they're paying too much. But anyway, let's go to, because it's time to go. Let's see if we get these callers in. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
I'm CA and Aaron.
Yes, sir.
One of these days, we'll be like Jamaica, where the Minister of Finance have a PhD in finance and the job experience.
Okay.
Dr. Nigel Clark. I remember when BC was the government cash cow. You know where Pompey Square was?
Mm-hmm.
We pay our BC bills there. BC had so much cash, government squatted out away. And when NIB had money, why didn't be like Norway, put the money in, let BlackRock like buy shares into Facebook and Amazon? Because right now, Norway money is worth more than a trillion dollars. But they just squandered the money. They buy, Christie bought a magical $3.5 million acquired from OPM. And let it sit. Because so-and-so own it, and she won't move behind the gate.
Let's be careful.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller. Let's squeeze that in.
Thank you.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Ian. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick thing. The minister of finance can be in the Senate. When you use the word parliament, it means the Senate mm-hmm. and the House. They could be in any one of those particular areas. Secondly, the guy said about assets. Places like BTC, BPL, water and sewer and things,
mm-hmm.
if you read them properly, their incarnation, you need a referendum to sell those. NIB needs to be made a sovereign wealth fund with the government inability to interfere with it, stand on its own, the way Social Security, the Social Security Administration and other places around the world is run. Sever it from government, put it as a sovereign wealth fund, have it managed as a sovereign asset management, and you would not have these bad investments the delinquencies and stuff, because that organization will be able to enforce its mandate via the law. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, C. Allen Johnson. Thank you very, very much.
I was entertained by one point C. Allen made about electricity being a necessary,
essential services.
Essential services,
yeah.
Right? And it cannot be sold without a referendum. And then I'm thinking of Grand Bahama and the Port Authority, that several things were sold, which was a part that shouldn't have been able to be sold, but they sold it all the same.
Well, I would say maybe the ability to sell it should not have been written into the agreement or whatever contract or agreement. Because the fundamental principle is you must own your basic essential services.
Yeah.
You need to own your electrical production.
And water.
You need to own your transportation, especially in an archipelago.
Aaron, it's time to wrap up. Squeeze this one in. Let's go to 20 seconds. Just squeeze. Please, just this one in. We can wrap up right now. Caller.
Producer, you have 17 seconds.
Go ahead. Put it in. Go ahead, caller.
17 seconds.
CA, I think of two ministers that could get a job anywhere in the world. William Allen and Francis. Because William Allen came from Wall Street and Francis came from Europe.
All right, thank you.
They had school work experience.
We gotta go.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to squeeze them in for the last minute, but this has been Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead, Aaron.
I'm saying we just demand more clarity in
and accountability
and the ability to separate politics from governance.
Yes. It's now 12 o'clock. It's time to go. This has been Guardian Radio AM with the CA Nuri. It's time for the news.